Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
I use the bathroom.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stream link, go to recordlgs.org. And the IC channel is a linuxdig.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, go to the castle, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1046 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
I'm here too.
And Jolie will probably be around at some point. Unless he sent an email that he was going to be on it. I didn't even look. Who knows? I don't know.
Nope. No email.
Anyway. Yeah, Joel's birthday's coming up. Is it the 6th or is it the 4th? I can't remember. What's today? It's
today's the
4th. It's not his birthday today, is it? Oh, yeah, it's the 3rd. I'm looking at the month and thinking it's the day. Crazy.
It is today or was it last month?
No. I can't remember. I think it's the 4th or the 6th. I think Alan's is the 1st. So Alan had his birthday.
Jackie's is the 11th.
All right. But is Jackie going to be a senior citizen like I think Alan is?
No, she's just going to feel like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's definitely a senior citizen now. We were supposed to be out of town this week, but we ended up having to cancel. But my wife and I have gone like walking or hiking every day. But we also hit a couple of thrift stores, and at both of them, I got the senior discount.
Good for you, sir. Did you go for early bird special afterward?
No, but it just happened to be senior day at both places we went.
What kind of discount did you get?
I got 20% at one store and 10% at the other.
And you didn't even have to give him a flavored suppository.
Nope.
That's good for you, Dave. Good for you, sir. Now, does your thrift store, before I ask the other question, did your first thrift stores, either one of them, do the have the section where you can go in and you pay by the pound?
No. There's one in Greenville that way.
Yeah. That is crazy. You know what I saw there? The first time I ever went to the pay by your pound side was a couple of weeks ago. And my oldest daughter goes there. She spends like $5 or $6 and she comes back with like a whole wardrobe of the nicest looking clothes. I could not believe that she got at the thrift store. But, I'm ashamed to believe that she did because so much. Well, that goes through the thrift store is probably an indication of 10 times the amount is just getting thrown out.
Dude, I mean, seriously, at the thrift stores around here, you can find like top end brand name stuff that is never been worn, still got the tags on, but it's at the resale. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah. I saw a binder of DVDs in there. by the pay by the pound section, and I looked at this thing, and this had to have. And I'm going to assume that you're looking at 1, 2. I think it was like 6 DVDs per page, double sided. So there's over like 100 DVDs there, and you figure even if they bought them at like $5 a pop or whatever. That was like $500+ for that thing, and they just chucked into the Goodwill. I mean, I'm glad that probably somebody picked it up and had a plethora of movies to watch, but that's crazy.
Who watches,
when I think about
who watches DVDs anymore?
No, I agree with you. You know, and speaking of that, my wife and I, we were trying to figure out what to watch the other night, and I said, you know what I want to watch? I want to watch trailers of direct-to-video movies
from the
70s, 80s, and 90s. Like 70s and 80s, particularly the 80s. The stuff that when I went into my grocery store, which was IGA or Lane Co. at the time, they had a little video rental section in there, and you were going to get things like A-Tor the Fighting Eagle.
Do you remember when like you would buy or rent movies and they would actually the VHS would have trailers at the beginning?
Yes.
Of really shitty movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I remember that. I remember that, and that's kind of what we were looking for, which was and we saw a bunch of them, and there was a movie that I had been trying to remember, like for the past two decades. What the hell that movie was, and it was like,
give me the premise.
It was an early 80s movie, and all I remembered at the time was there was a ninja and a cyborg or robot guy, and it was like
Don the Dragon Commando. Wilson.
Nope, I don't know what in as in the
Warriors of the what was it?
No,
because that's like that you've just like. You know, gave the description of two thirds of all the Don the Dragon Wilson movies. I'm serious.
And I'm not. I don't think this is a Don the Dragon movie. The thing is, I couldn't remember what it was, and I'm gonna tell you what it was because we were watching some of those trailers, and I'm like, holy shit, this looks like the movie I'm thinking of. I've been trying to remember, and it's called The Eliminators. And I remember seeing that in the movie theater, but I have not seen it anywhere since. I'm like, just like dropped off the face of the earth. But what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's weird. I remember when the video rental stores first started coming out, you would go to buy a VHS movie and a lot of times, some of them were like $99 or $50. They were incredibly expensive when they first started coming out. The rental places were pretty cool, but you had to like do some kind of $100 deposit that you would have to give them to open up a membership, and they would charge you annually for the membership. You can only rent like one or two movies at a time. But they also did, and I think Blockbuster did this too, you could also rent actual VHS players.
Yep. Uh-huh. I was getting ready to say that. Yeah.
And my dad used to like, he would rent a VHS player, and then the movies that he rented, he would dub them.
So, yeah, you could fit three on a single, you know, dub video.
Yeah, you could if you put it on.
My dad had the entire collection. I mean,
yeah, the S mode.
The collection took up like two walls from floor to ceiling of my dad's collection of ripped VHSs, and he had all the cases like numbered, and then he had a little black book that had all of the each page was a different number, and it had all the movies that were on it listed.
I enjoy myself a good bad movie. I love them.
Oh, I love terrible movies.
Yeah, I do too. You ever seen Bach?
I had a similar thing to what Dan had with his movie, with a movie called The Barbarians.
That was one of the trailers we saw.
And that truly horrible movie, and like the two actors in it, Peter Paul and David Paul, they're like twins, but they were both bodybuilders. I think one of them's like a governor now, and the other one's dead from an OD or something. It was such a horrible movie that I remembered it from the 80s.
Yeah. You ever seen Microwave Massacre?
Yeah.
No.
The main actor was the voice Frosty the Snowman. The animated Frosty Snowman from the 60s.
You should check out a movie called Hardware.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, I remember that. You know what? I know I saw the movie. It was played on HBO frequently. Yeah, oh my goodness. That's 1990.
I have to watch Weird Science for Friday.
For another podcast?
Yeah. The Linux Lugcast.
Talking about 80s movies?
Oh, just sci-fi movies.
Okay. You know, you were talking about what your dad did, Joe. What my dad would do is he would actually cut the movie description out of the TV guide and paste it onto that top part of the VHS where you would put the label, and you could had the window in there, not the side, but the label. He would paste those right into that area right there, and then he would cut out from another part of the TV guide the title of the movie and paste it on the spine of the side of the VHS tape, so that when it was there, you could just see the movies from the TV guide list label. That was good. One of the first times that my dad was doing the dubbing of the tapes, I loved horror movies, and I brought home Make Them Die Slowly, which was a cannibal horror film, and he decided that I had watched it, and he was working, I think, day shift, so he was going to dub the tapes at night. So he watched it while it was being dubbed, and he said if I ever brought in another movie like that, I would be in big trouble.
My dad didn't do anything like that, but he would ridicule us, me and my brother, mainly. When Star Wars came out, I was the target audience. I was just over 10 and a half years old.
Of course you were.
And my parents, I made them take me to the movie theater like 6 times, and my dad would complain incessantly. How many times have you seen this movie? And we'd always come back with, there's only one movie he had ever seen more than once. And that he wouldn't watch a movie twice, but he watched Jeremiah Johnson about 10 times. And we'd just throw that back in his face, and he'd get quiet. But
damn, man, I barely remember going to the movie theater to see Star Wars. I would have been, what, 4?
I don't.
5? I don't remember, 76, right?
I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember Star Wars, but I do remember Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah. And Jedi. Yeah,
I think when the last one came out of the original trilogy, I was maybe 2. So.
Did you see them when they were re-released? Weren't they re-released in the 90s?
I did go to the movie theater and see them when they were re-released, and they had changed a bunch of stuff, but it was still awesome seeing them on the screen.
I think my brother told me on Easter that they were re-releasing them this year, too, in the theaters.
But sadly, with one of them, I went with a friend who was very distracting during the movie and really wasn't interested in the movie at all.
Yeah, I remember more of the last set of Star Wars movies, because the first one came out right about the time. I'd seen it already, but it came around the time my mom passed. And Misty and Luke had to go home because he had a med that he could only get filled up here because it was one of those controlled substances, and they wouldn't refill it down there for some reason. Anywho, so I took Dad to go see The Force Awakens, and that got to be for the next at least for the next couple of movies that came out, we went. That's what we did. It was me and Dad, kind of a thing we did.
The last one I saw in the theater was the one where Leia Force flew through space. Yeah, and
yes.
I stopped going to the theater after that. That ruined it for me. It really did. I mean, I enjoyed Rogue One.
Endgame was the last one I saw in the theater, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed Rogue One, and I want to watch Andor, and The Mandalorian was pretty cool, but the movie's in the theater. I just quit going after that.
I did want to see Top Gun Maverick in the theater, but I ended up waiting until it came out in streaming services, and actually, I think I have it, like, bought it on one of the digital services.
I have to say, I wasn't interested at all in Top Gun Maverick, but I've seen some clips recently of the highlights on YouTube, and it looks
really
like
good.
I might want to watch it, yeah.
It's really good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit, there's a little bit of things in there, some of the things they're doing in the planes, which are kind of a little bit out there, but
batshit crazy.
Yeah,
like Fast and Furious crazy.
Not quite that crazy,
but pretty close.
They're not launching cars into space. So. Yeah.
Right.
The last movie I saw in the theater was Godzilla X Kong on Saturday, and it was a fun ride.
Oh, same here.
Did you see it?
Yeah, me and the wife went for her birthday. Uh-huh. She's a big Godzilla fan, a big kaiju fan in general. And yeah, we went and saw it. And I'll say that she enjoyed the movie a lot more than I did. I had my issues with it. Like, spoiler alert, you know, you might want to fast forward if you haven't seen the movie yet and want to. Mothra magically appearing by the kid, like, touching the air.
Why not? That's the hill you died on, Jay.
That's the hill right there.
That's the hill. Of all the other things.
Well, you know, okay. You want me to nitpick some more? I can nitpick some more. There's the fact that all the Kong ape, whatever you want to call them, creatures that were there, and you know, super glad he found all of them, but they were just digging in this lava area for essentially nothing. I mean, what work were they doing? They were trying to get themselves out. If they'd have been trying to do that, they'd have done it 2,000 years ago.
But don't forget, time moves slower in the in-between, or the Middle Earth, than it does above. So it could only have been 100 years. Still.
Well, that explains, you know, how Scarface is still alive after all, or the Scar King is still alive after all that time. And somehow a piece of the crystal off of the one kaiju was able to cause it pain and control it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you what. I was the big thing that disappointed me in Godzilla X Kong was that kaiju that you're talking about, Joe.
The frost kaiju.
Because they had an opportunity to bring in Anguillus, and they didn't. They gave us that instead. Well, and I was kind of not. I mean, I would have dug it anyway, but it was too much like Anguillus, and that bummed me out. Still loved it. I thought a lot of the monster stuff I enjoyed. The justification and the people stuff was kind of, you know.
Me.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Me.
Yeah, and I said that to my wife, too. I'm like, wait a minute. They've been down there for like 1,000 years. They still haven't dug themselves out of this hole.
So what is good as Godzilla Minus One?
Dude, it was still a good movie. It's just, you know, I like the little details when they line up, and when they don't, they kind of niggle at the back of my head.
Yeah,
right.
I think you know it's got a lot of that what Joe said. You know, it's like the thing is, I've heard people equate it to like a WWE event. You know, you're getting monsters slugging it out, and that's goodness. What you're going for. But the thing is, what Godzilla Minus One showed us was you could have a great Godzilla movie and a compelling story to go alongside it that the people are involved in that they just don't really do in any of these other, you know, the American Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Were you going to say something, Joe?
Still sounds better than that.
I mean, also, you know, a lot of your actors and actresses, like Millie Bobby Brown, not in it.
It still sounds...
Oh, you mean the ones, you mean the people that were in the other ones are not in this one.
1990s Godzilla
right.
movie.
Yeah. What's that, Joel?
Say, it still sounds better than the 1990s Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick in it.
Oh, that
well,
is the
that's
worst.
Not a high bar.
Yeah.
No.
That's not a high bar at all.
No. No, it was... Yeah, I remember seeing that. I saw that in the theater, and I thought, God, this is awful.
The high point of that movie was that French actor that was in... that Natalie Portman, Gary Oldman movie. It's lost me.
Right.
Luke, I can't remember his name, but...
I wish...
it's not that I didn't enjoy the movie, but... Yeah, right. It had it. It's had it. Its down points.
Yeah, yeah. You're going. I went to see the monsters slug it out, right?
Yeah, but you don't get that for the first like 2/3 of the movie. Like the last third of the movie, it's all fight. But like the first 2/3, it's what the hell's going on?
I mean, you do have Godzilla walking or going around the globe, trashing
sucking
other
up
monsters.
Power.
Sucking up powers, trashing some monsters along the way. Yeah, they're like 30, 40-second fights, if that.
Oh, and the tooth thing, okay, you know, I can see him having a tooth problem and getting it fixed. That kind of, you know, humanizes him a little bit. But then, you know, the Scar King just laughing at him because he saw the tooth.
I know, you're right, yeah. I mean... They could have gotten away with not doing that, and it wouldn't have changed the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was right. A pointless addition.
Yeah.
Well, tonight Luke is now taking a class at one of the career centers on automotive repair. So,
well, good for
so
him.
Far, he thinks he's going to like it.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. He had to buy a pair. We had to buy him a pair of steel-toe boots. Man, those things are expensive. They're $124.
Well, is he going to be a mechanic then?
I hope so. He can make some. He can make bank on that.
Absolutely. Wait, Joel.
Yeah.
Is your birthday on the 6th?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
it,
I thought it was...
is tomorrow.
Wait, the 4th.
The
4th. Happy birthday.
Because I said it's your birthday on the 6th, and you said yes.
Eat
some cake. It's the 4th.
Yes, okay.
I don't need any more cake.
Eat all the cake. It's your birthday. You can't have your birthday without cake. Get some carrot cake or something. That way you can pretend it's healthy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I already did this week.
Get a cake you don't like.
Look.
Yeah, right. That's difficult, Dave. It really is.
Look up booze brownie.
No, I had I baked that.
It doesn't have anything to do with alcohol. It's B-O-O. Booze brownies.
Oh, it's like possessive. Boo.
Well, it's also the day I do our boot camp tomorrow, and I need to actually tomorrow or Friday.
They're
to start
quick,
working on my
paper. They're easy to make. They're super low calorie. You toss some icing on them, and they're freaking delicious.
Yeah, carrot cake worked out good. It tasted good. It didn't have the recipe I used. Did not have raisins in it. Which is fine by me. Not that I hate raisins. I don't. You know, it's just...
They don't belong in carrot cake?
I see, that's kind of where I'm at with that, yeah. The icing was phenomenal. You know, he
cream cheese icing.
Oh yeah,
the only way to go.
This the recipe for that had a heavy cream in it too. Oh, but then see now, right from we had my son's birthday party, we get these amazing gourmet cupcakes over at sounds crazy, but Sam's Club.
Hmm.
And we bought two packs for the day we had his gathering, and there was like a whole pack left over, right? So we sent it home with my nephew. Oh, he didn't. He let us have it. He's like, "Why did you do that?" So my wife, what did my wife do this week? She went and bought another pack of them. I'm like, "Oh my god." And here's something weird that's been happening. This happened to my son twice. He does DoorDash, right? Well, like a couple weeks ago, he picked up an order at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. He picks it up, and then before he even gets, he was like practically right out in front of the house. He gets a message on the phone that the person who made the order canceled it, and that he can keep the food. So that happened to him once there for that place, and then their local place called Zanzi's, which is a pizza place, yesterday, he got two pizzas for nothing. It's like...
But D doesn't get paid then for that, does he?
That's just weird. That's a good question. I don't know. I have to ask him.
As long as the food money doesn't come out of his pocket.
That much I know, it doesn't happen. So... I think it's crap if you do something like that, you know. Unless, I guess there could be extenuating circumstances, like maybe your kid picked up your phone and ordered it via the app, you know, and you didn't know until you picked up your phone because it got a message, and you're like, wait a minute, did you do this? The pizza was weird, too. It was like a cheese pizza with chicken on it.
Nothing wrong with
which
that.
I'm okay with chicken on pizza, but that's what I have for lunch today.
Chicken on a pizza?
Yeah. I actually, here's something that if you have not tried it before, if you ever have leftover pizza, try heating it up in the air fryer. That's the way to go.
That's how I do it all the time now.
Doesn't it turn out crispy?
Yes.
Oh, I don't like crispy pizza.
Really? Soggy pizza?
Well, it depends on
I like to be able to fold it. I don't want it soggy.
I don't want it soggy. Yeah.
Well, you like it a bit what?
You can tailor it.
I want to be able to fold it.
Oh, it doesn't
You can do it in the air fryer and still do that.
Yeah. It doesn't...
You can. It like, just depends on how long you do it.
It's like close. It's about as close as you're going to get at home to them. Like if you would have them just reheat a piece in the pizza place. You know how in some of those pizza places you go, they got them all sitting out,
right?
And they just cut you a slice or two off, put it in the oven for a minute or two, and then pull it back out. And it's
like
that.
A Sbarro or something. Yeah.
If the crust is not already like really crispy that you can't fold it, it's not going to turn it into a crust that you can't fold.
My wife's been making homemade pizza for like the last 2 or 3 weeks. Just on a pizza stone in the oven. It's good.
Yeah, you can't, like, if it wasn't crispy before, of course you can cook it long enough in the air fryer to make it crispy, but you don't have to. Yeah, you can adjust the time and the temperature. It's way better than reheating it in the microwave. It's awful when you do that. I'd rather eat it cold.
I love cold pizza.
I do too.
Depends on what kind.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Like not Little Caesars.
Oh yeah.
Definitely not Domino's.
I like Little Caesars.
You know, I haven't.
I like Little Caesars. I just don't like Little Caesars after it's gotten cold.
Oh,
yeah. Little Caesars, I have not had Little Caesars in years. Mostly because the the closest one to us is all the way on the other side of town, and I ain't driving all the way over there to get freaking Little Caesars. There's much better places.
You know what else is happening on Joel's birthday, don't you?
No idea.
Murph told me to mention this in IRC, Central Pennsylvania Open Source Conference in Lancaster at the Ware
Center. Oh. Okay.
It's cposc.org.
Never knew that even was a thing.
It's been a thing since 2008, evidently. They got 20 speakers.
Wow.
I think it's a, yeah, one day thing.
I ain't going to be in Pennsylvania until July. So
20 plus speakers, excuse me.
You know what?
Yeah, right around 4th of July.
Go ahead. Okay, I wonder if they... There was a lug out there, Central Pennsylvania Linux Users Group, CPLUG, and they
maybe
put
that's
on,
what it is.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if CPLUG's not around anymore, and that's what it's now CP.
OSC.
Who puts on CPOSC? Central Pennsylvania.
I'm not sure.
Is it CPLUG?
I don't see any link to them on their website.
Right. Well, speaking of Linux Fest, Southeast Linux Fest 2024 is call for papers is open. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Hold on. Nick's at. Between now and March 1st of 2024, we will be accepting proposals for self... Yeah, via the call for papers form. So that deadline's already passed. So that is still happening. Same place it's been for the last few years. Sheraton Charlotte Airport. The baby that Dave helped start is still living.
Look at that, Dave, huh? Carries on without you.
I thought about going this year, but I don't know if I'm going to make it.
I don't think I am. I don't. I'm already planning on going to Dayton Hamvention. I haven't been there in a few years, so I'm probably going to go to that.
Man, the only problem... I have the same problem with Southeast Linux Fest that I have with Ohio Linux Fest, is that they're usually at the worst time of the two times of the year for me.
Yeah.
Like the end of the year was like school. Like my kids are still in school, or now my wife is still teaching. That makes it hard. And then Ohio Linux Fest is either at the start of school or it's right at our anniversary. Although, wasn't there one year it was in December?
Yeah, there was. One year it was in December. This past year it was in September.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, it was real close. It was real close to when I was flying out for a work trip. That's like my wife says, well, when you retire, you're not hanging around the house. I'm like, no problem. I got things I could go to.
Murph said the group that starts it, that's behind the CPOSC, is Local Area Networks.
Ah, okay. Cool.
What the heck is Local Area Networks? Is that a business or is that actually a group?
Not sure.
Local Area Networks.
That sounds like a pretty generic name.
Like I'm not even sure what that is. That's an interesting name, but still I wonder if that has any attachment at all to CPLUG, because this is around the same area. And back in the early, I think it was early 2000s, they did a I think they call it a security conference or whatever. It was really good, put on by C-Plug, and it was a day event like this. It was in a college. I can't remember where it was though. But it was out close to this place because I went to it, and I could drive there and back in the same day.
It's a Lancaster, PA 501c3 organization. Their mission is to empower and expand the community of passionate technologists.
Where'd you find that?
At localarianetworks.org. I can
all one word.
Yep. It just sounds like a LAN. They're just networking.
That looks like an interesting group. Good on them. Do they still have Linux users groups around?
Yeah, there's the U-Club group is still active. And,
there's one right around me. There's probably a couple around me.
Yeah, I've been saying I'm gonna start back going, but I haven't yet.
Well, evidently the one that I used to go to, they still meet, but they only meet online anymore. So no more in-person stuff.
Yeah, U-Club still meets in person, but they also do online. And I think they joined up with they meet online with the Columbia area Linux user group. So there's two in South Carolina that collab with each other online monthly.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one here, but I can't even, well, I'm going to try and make it to the next Central Ohio Radio Club, and I probably should renew that as well as my ARRL membership. ARRL is Amateur Radio Relay, and they're the ones, basically a lobbying organization that lobbies for amateur radio operators' rights in Congress. Responsible for things like there's a PRB1 exception, which is if you live in an area with restrictive covenants and restrictions that won't let you put up an antenna, you can go through the effort of filing what they call a PRB1, which basically will
What happened to you?
No, I'm in nothing. I'm here.
Oh, so you? I heard you say. Did Joel cut out for anybody else?
Stop talking.
He did.
He just stopped talking. Yeah. That was all it was.
Yeah.
It was so surprising that we were stunned.
I thought he just. I thought he cut out because it sounded like it just felt like he was saying in the middle of saying something, and then it just stopped. And I thought maybe it cut out. All right. Well. Anyway, I don't know if C-Plug is still around because the website doesn't seem to be working. It's supposed to be C-Plug.
Any longer because I even took time off work to do it.
Wait, are you saying something now or not? Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now he's broken. Now he's broken.
Because like I'm in the middle of talking and you're just chiming in. You're just cutting in with something and then you just stop talking. I'm like,
No, I just lied. I laughed and I'm done.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. I don't think C-Plug is around anymore. There's a LinkedIn page and website cplug.net, which doesn't seem to be working anymore. So
y'all get enough rain, man?
This past week we got a nice chunk of rain.
Yeah, we got so much that they had to put the flood walls up downtown.
Damn.
Yep. We had tornado watch yesterday night. didn't really amount to much. All we really had was rain. They didn't get strong enough to create tornadoes until after they passed the Columbus area. But the over by my old house, the Route 23.
And?
Yeah. It's just flooded.
Oh, okay.
The cozy inn.
Oh, the cozy.
That's the one where who found the pube on the toilet there? That's true.
There's a penis drawing on the door too.
There was a pube on the toilet there.
It was Joel's. That's the first time I met Joel. We pulled in. I said to Ling, I'm like, who's that homeless guy? I didn't even know who Joel was. I don't know. Look at that homeless guy.
You don't really want to stay there.
It was Joel sitting out there waiting for us.
I know. I'm sitting on a rock with a bag in my hand.
Oh, that was a good time.
That's the first time Dan met me ever.
Yeah, that was ShopRat was there, and it was Link, Allen, Pat. I don't know if Murph was there. Oh, that would have been the first Ohio Linux users group we went, Ohio Linux Fest we went to. I don't know, was Murph there?
Probably.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Oh, man, that was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
Wait, was that?
Was that the one where you dropped trow?
No, I was there for that.
No, that was the second one. That was the one, so... Oh my goodness!
He thought it was John O'Bacon.
Yeah,
was John O'Bacon was there? Was it the second or the third year?
It was the one year. It might have been the third year. It was the year you had control of the drink tickets, and you got that was the last time I ever got drunk.
Yeah, so that wasn't the first year.
No,
maybe it was the second year.
It's either the second or the third year because we had a giveaway and we had bigger crowd for our giveaway than OLF did.
Yeah, I remember that they would
the Met they would say wasn't really happy, but
we couldn't do the giveaway at the same time they were doing it, and then it kind of didn't at some point it just became all combined. Wasn't there a year or two that
there's a year we called it, yeah. That was a long time ago, too. Damn, I'm old.
Man, what was it? Pearson's? Was that the group?
Yeah.
Oh, my Pearson, goodness. And O'Reilly, they used to... The amount of
so
stuff
many
they
books.
Gave us.
And Joe Bourne giving us OSDs. Yeah. And 1 year the NeuroSlink was when we did it at Self.
That was so long ago.
Yep.
And we gave the 1 year we gave away Hacky Sacks, and then another year.
Yep.
We had.
I still got mine.
Get that. I have mine somewhere. Too. War Dancy did T-shirts for us.
Yeah.
Holy moly. The good old days.
He sacks with a cockroach on it. Link actually, that was one of the pictures Link posted on Alan's birthday on Facebook.
Alan. Yeah, it was the first, yes?
I think it's, or the second, I don't remember.
I think it was the first.
April's Fool's Day, it was lame this year. I mean, I didn't really see anything great.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I mean, well, it doesn't help that ThinkGeek is no longer a thing. I miss ThinkGeek.
Yeah.
They got bought by GameStop and GameStop killed them. the like thing close to ThinkGeeky on GameStop is fucking pop those pop figures. I hate the Funko Pops. I hate
Funko Pops. Bobbleheaded stuff.
Any of that shit. It's garbage. It's like, why do I want that?
I got my daughter good for April Fool's. She has a Maine Coon cat, and my sister for Christmas gave my daughter a painting based off a photo. I mean, the photo, it's hard to describe. It looks like a painting, but it's her Maine Coon cat wearing like a Gryffindor outfit in the cafeteria or the place. Where, anyway, it's a Harry Potter picture, portrait of her cat. And I turned it upside down in the hallway, and she saw it, and I denied doing it, but that freaked her out for about 10 minutes.
That is awesome. Yeah.
She's seen enough horror movies with demons and crap to think the worst.
Nice.
So what are you doing for your birthday, Joel?
For me? Gonna go work out. That's what I'm gonna do. I don't know. We might, over the weekend, we might go to like Texas Roadhouse and get a steak.
There you go.
Tomorrow, probably not happening because I think Luke may end up DoorDash. He finally started taking my recommendations and started doing it in the evenings. I said, that's when people are DoorDashing. They're not going to be DoorDashing as much during the day at lunchtime. You know, that's not going to happen. Granted, I mean, I've ordered lunch in the middle of the day.
You're not talking anywhere close
to as much as I do DoorDash at night.
You're talking between the hours of lunch and dinner. Like after lunch, before dinner hours, you
right?
Because lunchtime hours, yeah, are pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's when he would do it. Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's yeah, whatever. Yeah, he finally figured it out, and he started doing more than an hour or so at a time. So we'll see. I'd rather him get a job doing oil changes or something after he goes through this class. Which might happen. And I don't know if they do it anymore, but when I worked at CSCC, Ford had a program called the Asset Program at Columbus State Community College, and that basically what that was Ford would provide cars that they could use in the program to do work on. I don't know if they do that anymore, but either way, I know they have an automotive degree, associate's degree he could get if he wanted to. But I keep telling him that I'm glad he seemed to like it when he went to class tonight. He says he thinks he's going to like it, and I kind of thought he would too, because I mean, when you're a mechanic, you just get the order, do this work. And you do the work, you know, and there's probably points where you'd have to say, hey, we need to get, you know, you go back to the service coordinator and say, hey, it needs this work, and that work, you know, and then they
go. It kind of depends on the size of the shop.
Well, that's true, too. But, you know, if he's working like a dealer or even like a place like Firestone's or something, that's what, you know, he wouldn't even have to talk to the customer, you know, or a person, you know, he would just really relay it on and they'd say, okay, customer said do the work.
Nobody likes talking to the customer, but it happens.
Oh yeah. That's like, I've got like two more weeks of my first class of my master's degree to do, which is a leadership and organizational behavior course. Right. And we talked about like styles. There's some sort of quiz we took where The two things that I were was a computer and a compromiser. Okay. So, and basically said, like, I'm a computer in that I press my team to get work done. And I also try to, you know, do better than they all do too. So that's kind of one area where I'm a computer, but I have to compromise with the customer or clients because I can't talk the same way to my team as I would talk to our customers.
I thought you said computer. I thought you said compromised computer.
Well, that's not a good
thing. No.
So I had to jump on. Speaking you guys were talking about Ohio Linux Fest.
Oh, there you are.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I still have the Hacky Stack, too, for that matter.
Yeah, but, Hacky Stack, yeah.
You were talking about when Dan was on stage. There, I have never been so sorry to have sat in the front of a presentation.
That's not nice.
Yeah, well, I was
hairy ass.
I was halfway back in that room. It was a big room. I was halfway back, and I wished I was further back.
Hey, Dan, you do you, but I could have not been in the front row and, you know, seen it from the back would have been fine.
It would.
You have a memory for life, yes. Murph. Look at that. You'll always remember that.
Yes, and years of therapy may fix
that.
What
happened? What happened?
I wonder why it happened, Dan.
Well, okay.
Who knows why it happened?
So the story goes here is during the pre-party, Dan and Jono were drinking, obviously. And at the pre-party, Dan mooned him, all
right? That's right. I forgot about that.
So Jono, during his talk, calls Dan up the stage and has him moon the crowd. Oh, and Beth Lynn was like, what?
not one of the best choices in my life, Joe.
No.
Not one of my best choices either.
Yeah.
No.
To me, it's still like the worst thing he's done in front of a group like that.
And it used to be on YouTube.
Why did you agree to do that on stage?
Because Dan's an agreeable person? I don't know.
It was tastefully done.
You tastefully mooned an entire crowd.
It was a quick butt cheek flash. More so than
it was Jono was a keynote, though.
Yeah, it was a keynote. I don't know.
But that was Jono was doing a keynote, though.
It was the early 2000s. Wasn't it?
Like that makes a difference.
It does. I don't know. No, it doesn't. It was a stupid idea. We all had a good laugh about it. And it turned
and
it into a rated R.
It's 20 years later, and you'll never live it down.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It used to be on YouTube.
That's back when, wasn't there?
Yeah, it used to be on YouTube.
YouTube probably took it out after they saw your ass.
Or whoever posted it did.
The last Southeast Linux Fest I had anything to do with was the second one. It was in Spartanburg. And,
yes, it was.
Is that the one
with the wedding?
No. The wedding was in Ohio Linux Fest. That's Lord Drakenblut got married.
No. I'm talking about the one.
Oh yeah. That was
no. It wasn't. Yeah. No. It was.
There was a wedding. Yeah. There was a wedding.
Randy Nose got married.
Yeah. That's right.
Lord Drakenblut married him. The wedding I'm talking about is the one where the couple of the bridesmaids got really drunk and came out and flashed everybody.
No.
That's not all they did.
No.
I'll get the most specific.
Mad Dog married Randy Noseworthy.
Okay.
Mad Dog did it.
But the wedding party at the second annual Southeast Linux Fest, they got hold of some of the drink tickets and they did end up flashing people.
But late that night,
I mean, the party was over. I was going back up to my room and I can't remember who was standing there with me, but I hit the elevator button. and it opened, and there was this bride party, this bridal party. There was like three or four bridesmaids and a couple of groomsmen, maybe the bride, I don't know. But there was at least three women wearing these giant lavender or rose-colored taffeta dresses. And one of them was laying on her back in the middle of the floor of the elevator.
One of them? I thought that was the bride.
I think it was a bridesmaid, but she had her butt up in the air, her knees up by her face, and she farted as soon as the doors opened. And then the doors closed. Of course, I didn't get up.
And Dave caught it.
Nah, I just remember that we were all out back. We were all about backing. You were talking to Patrick Volkerding, and I think Dan and I were standing out there too. And this girl walks over, flashes us her titties.
Yeah.
And you and Patrick just basically acted like they weren't there.
Yeah. Patrick looked over his shoulder and then looked back at me and kept talking. But earlier that day, I went to the restroom and somebody had blown up the toilet. I mean, they just messed it up big time. It's diarrhea everywhere. Yeah. I made the mistake.
Somebody probably did.
I don't know who it was, but Dan was out in the hall. I left the restroom, and I made the mistake of walking up to Dan and say, "Dan, I left you something in the toilet." And of course, he went to look at it. What I didn't know is that he took a picture of it. And an hour later, during his presentation, and I was in the back of the room next to the guy recording it, Dan put that picture up on the slides on the screen and told everybody that I did it.
I forgot about that.
Oh, I will never forget it.
I love hearing Jeremy Sands talk about that particular Southeast Linux Fest where he talked about, because he does like a, was it when you were at the 10th anniversary one?
Yeah,
Dave, he did the talk about how they just for the wedding party raided our drink tickets. You know, when they did the hotel at the was back when they did the Biltmore, and they said, "Our guys don't drink Coors Light."
Yeah.
you know, that the early days of the Southeast Linux Fest was just phenomenal. I mean, I remember like somebody was, I don't know who it was, sharing the room with three. No, it was you.
It was me.
Share the room with 330 back when he was 330 hippie.
330 crashed in my room. I had the presidential suite. The thing was huge. And I guess I made the mistake of telling him that
up the whole room.
Yeah, there was like three rooms. So I figured, you know, he could sleep in one room with the door closed. But he stunk up the entire thing. It's like 900 square feet. Just with his feet.
Tell him to wash his damn feet.
No, it was awful.
Man, the good old days.
Yep.
I remember Clat 2 used to go to those. And that was a good time. Yep. And Dual Core performing. There.
Oh, yeah.
Dual Core is a really nice guy. What was that? N80, is that his?
C64, maybe?
Yeah, C64.
I like Dual Core.
Yeah.
Yep. N80.
And Murph.
We had.
And Coutbook. People who are no longer with us, like Lord Drattenblut and Randy. Not Randy.
50.
Yeah.
5150.
50. And Patrick Archibald, who was tragically hit on his bike.
If you've really seen a picture of 330 today, you wouldn't even think it's the same guy.
Yeah, but glow up or something.
No, I mean he's like into like wearing suits and shit now.
What's he doing? He does... Last I knew, he was
doing martial arts or something. Yeah, I think he still does that, but I think he's doing like I want to say I thought he was doing something for a pharmacy, but he says he's had to drive into Ohio before too. Oh, he has a car now. And then you got Pegwall, the blind photographer.
I'm assuming he's doing well too.
And I'll see him on there every once in a while.
Not well enough to come back on the show.
They don't like Linux anymore. They wouldn't even come to Linux Fest. Would they? Maybe they would. I bet.
Pegwall's probably broke putting his house back together all the time.
Oh, that reminds me. Today, I had to recalk a bathtub.
Oh, boy.
Does that mean you can't use it for another 24 hours or so?
Supposedly, the caulk that I used is supposed to be like water solid within a half an hour, but it still felt very tacky.
Okay.
And I checked it about an hour. It's in the kids' bathroom.
Oh.
So I took the day off of work because I worked this last holiday, Good Friday. And I got up and I just started in there with a razor and a scraper and got all the old caulk off because it's evidently leaking around the rim and down into the floor below. So I got the old caulk off and that just took hours to get all that out properly. And then putting on the caulk was actually pretty easy.
That's better than
it really is.
It does not look like a professional job because I'm not a professional, but you know what? It does look like it'll work.
Yeah, our upstairs tub got a crack in it years ago, and my very non-professional self just caulked over the crack. And that we limped by for a year, and then we eventually had to replace the entire tub, which...
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine you'd have to recaulk that at least once a year if you were trying to keep it.
Yeah.
Maybe grout it instead.
Yeah.
Get a heat gun, put some, clay in there and glaze it.
That's what I should have done. It was sort of bumpy.
Bumpy.
I can't imagine a tub being cheap.
No.
No, nothing's cheap anymore.
I'm disappointed that Lowe's used to do this thing where basically they'd help you design like your new bathroom, like you pick everything out, and then they would coordinate getting contractors to do the work for your house. And that's what they did for our kitchen and our bathroom remodeled house that we did before we sold it. But they don't do that anymore. Kind of sucks too.
So is it next week, starting next week, that you're going to be super late, Joel?
Yep, I think so, yeah. The 10th. It's only for, I think it's, 6 or 8 weeks? I can't remember. I got to look up my what my next course is, because I got 2 more weeks on the leadership and organizational behavior class, and then I go into my first MIS class. MIS, I think 540. I gotta look and see what that is.
Get that degree.
Yeah.
Get that pay bump. Then you could put on a Linux Fest.
I don't know if I'll get a pay bump.
Your town.
We already have one.
You never go to it, though. Boo. Why don't Lehigh Valley Linux users group?
Not long enough, anyway.
All the good times, right, Dave?
Yay.
Oh. The Greater Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group. I'm assuming they're still going on because they got meetings and April 10th, 12th, 8th. Lab meetings. Good for them. Does Murph go? Probably not.
Nope.
No.
No. You know what? I think this is Jeff Sartler, if I'm not mistaken. He was the Linux SIG group involved with that from the Lehigh Valley Linux, Lehigh Valley Computer Users group. And good on them. Anyway. Are you going to be going to South East Linux Fest this year, Murph?
No, I don't think I'm going to that one. That's quite a drive. I got a lot of stuff going on this year.
Are you going to go to the CPOSC?
Yes, that'll be it.
That looks really neat.
It's a good conference. I've been going for quite a few years. It's good. It's pretty close. So I'll be there.
If it wasn't so,
Do you know people there?
Not a lot. A couple of people I know there, but.
Okay.
If it wasn't,
you should get the Greater Lehigh Valley Linux User Group.
I don't know anybody there. Another one I'll go to this year is the Hope Conference in New York. That's always a good one. It's in Queens, Hackers on Planet Earth. That's a good conference to go to. Hope.net.
That's been around a while, hasn't it?
Quite a while.
Remember HPR?
Yes, it has. Yeah, there was lots of HPR.
Well, I'm looking at the wrong Hope conference. There we go.
Hope.net. I don't know where the other ones go to.
That looks pretty cool, too. Oh, so many cool things that are too far away from me.
Well, I was going to say, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. I'd love to go to Scale one year. Pasadena is a little far.
I've been to Scale twice. I spoke there twice. So.
Ooh. Yeah, but you flew there, right?
I did.
See, I don't think my job would pay for that. They won't pay for me to go to our users group, which is in San Antonio this year, unless I have to do two presentations before the company will pay to fly me there. And the bad thing is because of the area I work in, I can't share everything because some of it's considered proprietary knowledge. That was what I did want to present on there was how we, our company, monitors the cloud instances for our clients. And I had to go look at the engineering team and say, hey, this is what I want to do. And they're like, nope, you can't do that. I'm like, damn, okay. Even though all I was going to do was show them things that aren't necessarily proprietary, like, for example, Datadog, which we use to monitor our services.
Wait, who didn't want to see that?
The engineering team. They said
why
I couldn't
they
present
want to see it.
Why couldn't you? Oh, you couldn't present. Oh.
Right.
Why couldn't you? Oh, you couldn't present. Oh.
I couldn't.
Are there secrets?
That, yeah, In a roundabout way, yeah.
Too much inside information.
I think the other thing was they were afraid that they would be inundated with the requests from clients to get them access to Datadog, even though they don't really need to see that. Because a lot, as usual, there's a lot of things with any kind of monitoring tool, if a user sees it and they don't know how to interpret it, they may misinterpret it, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, there is such a thing as a monitoring tool that gives you a false alert that, you know, the client might see it and like, oh no, that's a bad thing. Well, no. False alerts happen because the way that especially like when you're looking at things like user interface synthetics tests, which basically is a way that you can test an application without, you know, doing a damage to without updating data and stuff like that by logging in, doing some work, you know, like looking up a class or something, and then logging out. Okay, that's what we use to monitor. Hey, is the applicant functioning? All right. But sometimes those alerts, there will be alert because maybe the timing was a little bit off or something like that, or at that particular instance, the system was running a little slower than usual. That doesn't necessarily mean the application's broken. It just means that, hey, you might need to tweak the wait time on a step of the test so that it doesn't fail. You know, it might be just a little slow for the test, but not slow for an actual person using it, if you know what I mean. So, if you don't know what you're looking at, you can misinterpret that and think, oh, maybe they're down, or maybe it took too long for the test. Maybe that the problem is in the system. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem on the system. It means that, you know, the system's busy, you know. Yeah, I mean, if you misinterpret it the wrong way, you can think, well, we need an upgrade. Well, you don't necessarily need an upgrade other than to maybe tweak how you use the system or do some maintenance here and there. You know, those are things that if you don't know what the data that you're looking at, you can misinterpret it. And that's just Datadog thing, too. Ironically, I actually know somebody who works for Datadog, so. No, you know
from
too.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It's one of the podcasts they do now? Bad Voltage. Jeremy Garcia. John O'Bacon, Jeremy Garcia, and Stuart Langridge. Yeah.
And
formerly of Lug Radio.
Oh shoot, that was one I had to I completely forgot I didn't put on my podcatcher.
They haven't had one. They bring it out maybe once every 2 weeks, I think. Once a month by the looks of it.
Yeah.
1 month ago was the last episode.
It comes out maybe every 3 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lug Radio.
No, Bad Voltage, Lug Radio. Holy moly.
Lug Radio's way dead.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Every 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes a month. Good stuff. I met Jeremy and Jono. I never met Stuart, though. Yeah. So did it get added? What the hell is it? Yeah, there it is. All right. Did you have a nice Easter, Joel?
Talking to me, or are you talking to Joel?
I said Joel, but you can answer now, Joe. I know you called you. You took the day off.
I had a very calm day at home. Did a podcast.
Which podcast?
Mintcast.
There you go. Did your kids go find eggs?
No.
Or an Easter basket? They get an Easter basket?
Nope. My kids are older.
So are my kids, but they still like to have that done. Yeah. I love it, man. I put the eggs out there. I hide their Easter baskets. I laugh my ass off when they can't find them. I'm like, it's in one room. How could you not find it? It's so easy. I could stand right here and look at it. And when they go right past it, it just cracks me up. I love
you,
it.
You had the whole basket.
Yes. Yeah. It's tough, Dave. It can be tough to hide the big basket like that. Now, I told my youngest daughter.
Do you do that with plastic ones or you do that with hard-boiled ones?
Oh, we hard-boil the eggs. The eggs.
So when you do miss one and then you find it in 6 months.
Well, no, we hide the eggs outside. So if you lose one, it's not. We haven't lost one in a couple years.
You have a dog, don't you?
Yes.
Well, they'll find the egg.
Yeah. Now, the 1 year, like our first, one of our first Easters that we were together, my wife and I were together, I hid stuff around the house, and there was like one Cadbury egg that was not found until like almost a year later.
Ugh.
Yeah. That was, but usually they're pretty good. But I laughed. I told my youngest daughter this year, I said, I took your Easter basket apart and you got to find every single piece or you don't get it.
That's sadistic.
I said, you got to every single piece and you have to put it back together the way it originally was, even though she never saw it.
Awesome.
But I didn't do that. I was just kidding with her. She gave me that look, though. At first she thought I was being serious.
We never hid. I mean, we've taken Luke when he was little. We took him to go on an egg hunt. But we never had one at house for him. We did that when I was kids. Mom did that when we were kids.
Yeah, we did it as kids. And I think my parents did it for my kids when they were little, but we never did it.
Right.
Killjoy.
I eat some boiled eggs.
Boiled egg. See,
we had a lot of eggs this week.
That's one thing that, you know, everyone that I know of seems to really, really like deviled eggs.
Oh, I love deviled eggs.
Oh, yeah. We had that. My daughter took all of them.
Yeah, I like deviled eggs too. It's actually kind of a problem.
I like them.
Yeah, I love them.
Well, I like them, but I don't really. I'm not like crazy about them like so many people I know of are.
If you set a plate full of deviled eggs in front of me and you walk away, when you come back, there's not going to be any deviled eggs.
Yeah.
Right.
No shit, man, right?
See, and I'm not. You know, you'd be safe. I'll eat one. I'll eat several. But I'm not. I just don't. They're just not my most favorite thing, you know.
They're not my most favorite thing either, but they are delicious and they will disappear.
I'd much rather have
easy to eat.
Look,
I'd much rather have ham or ham salad, and that actually made ham salad with the rest of our ham that we had left over.
It's like setting a plate full of fresh homemade chocolate chip cookies in front of me. I mean, it's not going to survive.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second, Joel. You know, if you're doing the Easter egg hunt thing, you're going to have a ton of hard-boiled eggs. You can still have a ham salad, man.
I know.
But you can do the deviled egg. You know what? Yeah. Deviled eggs are so good.
You ever make just like an egg salad sandwich?
I'd rather have the egg salad sandwich, to be honest.
Egg salad sandwich. Yeah, they're
called I'm not a fan.
Too.
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan?
Egg salad or potato salad.
Like, not,
with,
like tuna fish.
Potato
tuna fish.
Salad with eggs in it.
Oh,
potato salad
fish.
With eggs in it. Yeah, tuna fish is good.
I hate, I hate relish.
Do you like ham salad?
Yeah, I'm
ham salad.
Ham salad. I don't like tuna salad.
Delicious.
I just like tuna.
Oh,
I mean, I like tuna salad.
What don't you like about tuna?
My favorite
salad.
Way to eat tuna is quinoa and mustard and tuna. Just mix it all together.
That's a little weird, but
yeah,
okay, I get it.
Yeah, no, canned tuna's fine.
I hate mayonnaise.
Tuna.
I would eat that.
I love mayonnaise.
You hate mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
I'm not a fan of mustard.
In fact, I'm out of mayonnaise, and I'm sad. I need to go and buy another jar of Duke's.
There you go.
That's the best mayonnaise. I don't care what anybody says. If you can't get that, Hellman's is...
Not for Joel. Joe doesn't like mayonnaise.
If you can't get Duke's, Hellman's is fine, too.
No. My first...
My
first job
out
of college, I agree. I was quality control manager for Duke's Mayonnaise, and there's no better.
I agree with that, yeah. Yeah, but if, like I said, if you can't get it, then Hellman's a word.
Can't get it, you just have to agree. We don't eat any other mayonnaise except
Duke's. Gotta have that twang.
Can't get it, you go hungry, right, Dave?
Yeah, that's where I think Duke's is the best. Is that egg? It tastes different than other mayonnaise. And Miracle Whip, you can throw that shit in the trash.
Yeah.
You can throw all mayonnaise in the trash.
Nah. I've made my own tartar sauce before because I love tartar sauce on fish.
Did you start with eggs and a good olive oil and make your own mayonnaise and then put the...
No, that's too
just,
much work,
just Duke's
man.
And, Duke's and
Duke's
relish,
and pickle
right?
relish, yeah.
A little bit of malt vinegar and some salt in there.
Maybe.
What?
Duke's is nothing but
eggs.
Vinegar, eggs, salt, and soybean oil.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty simple. You can get like I was at Sam's Club up here and you get like I don't know what size jar that is, but it's massive. It's like it has more mayonnaise than I would use in a year.
Where are you going to put that?
The gallon jar is
what
they call
it. How long does mayonnaise stay good?
It stays good 9 months.
9 months? Okay.
In the refrigerator?
No, you don't have to refrigerate. It's a high-acid food. Duke's is a high-acid food. You don't have to refrigerate it. Most people do. But,
it says on the label to refrigerate after opening.
Yeah, but there's a debate. There's a debate in the South.
Debate in the South, right?
Most people refrigerate it, but...
The people who are alive refrigerated it. The people who are in the graveyard didn't.
And when it goes bad after 9 months, it's just because the oil's gone rancid. So, I mean, it's still good. It's good mayonnaise. It just don't taste good anymore. It's oxidation, that's all.
So it's not the mayonnaise that's causing the problem at the picnics when they have the macaroni or the potato salad out too long. What is it, Dave?
It's
botulism.
It's changing temperature. I mean, if it was cold, you should keep it cold. Wild swings in temperature aren't good.
Yep.
But, you know, it could be, you know, somebody, you know, just didn't wash their hands, too.
Yeah.
Sick bastards.
Ooh, I might have to try some of their sauces, too, at Duke's, that Duke's makes. I've never tried any of those. Like the
Kinder.
Garlic aioli.
Kinder makes some really good sauces.
Kinder, absolutely. Oh, I'm going to have to see if I can find it. But I saw Kinder has a cherry cola flavored rub. I'm going to try that.
Now,
some pork chop.
I'm not a ginger ale fan, and I'm not a cherry flavored drink fan. But my wife got some...
Cherry ginger ale. So you don't even like cheer wine then, huh?
Oh God, no! It's like drinking cough syrup. The cherry ginger ale. I took one swallow. It was good. I don't know if I could drink a whole can, but it was really good.
Is it alcoholic or not?
No, no, it's not alcoholic.
Is it a local brand or what?
No, it's Canada Dry.
Really? Is it new?
Canada Dry.
It may be new. I don't know.
Because I've never seen cherry ginger ale.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's cherry ginger ale. Yeah.
I've never seen any Canada Dry do any other kind of ginger ale.
Well, I'll know next week. There's some in the refrigerator. I can't. My recollection was it's cherry ginger ale. It could yep. be cranberry. Could be cranberry.
They have it.
Yeah
they have it.
Yeah.
I've seen the cranberry one, and I've also had the they mix it with lemonade.
There it is. Canada Dry Fruit Splash Cherry Ginger Ale.
Yep, that's it.
Is it new?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it's that new. I think it's been around.
I'm surprised. I've never seen it.
They make Ale 8, which is a Kentucky-based... some call it ginger ale. I call it Ale 8 because it doesn't taste like ginger ale to me. But it does have that kind of a wang to it. You know, it's kind of like ginger ale, you know. But it's also got some citrus flavorings in it, too. But they make a cherry version of that, which is delicious. And an orange or tangerine version. I don't remember. I know it's orange.
No, I want a ginger beer. Or
ginger beer.
A good quality root beer. Either one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe both.
What this cherry ginger reminded me of, and I, like I said, I just took one swallow, was what's that Brazilian soda? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Starts with a J?
Yeah, or a G, I'm not sure.
G. It's Guarnica, I think.
That's it. That's it. It reminded me a little bit of that.
Guarana? Is that what it is? Guarana?
I'm not sure.
The Brazilian original?
Yeah. It's like the most popular soft drink in Brazil.
Right.
It's more popular than Coca-Cola.
More Dancy brought some to a couple places.
He made me drink some himself. Yeah, it was good.
Actually, that was down at the last time you were itself. The 10th anniversary one a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. The best root beer I've ever had, Dan can actually get. And that's the root beer they sell at the Colonial area in Colonial Williamsburg. It's good stuff.
Is there a brand?
It's like their own brand.
Okay.
Hey, if you like birch beer, the Weiss brand Diet White Birch Beer, excellent.
I'll have to keep that.
As long as you're up in Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania, maybe Jersey.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
You can find a Weiss.
Yeah.
Are they in Delaware?
I did get some. Well, I don't remember. I know down in at Bull's Gap, Tennessee, there's a place called Yoder's Country Store. I can get it there, and that's like less than an hour from my dad's house. We were down when I was down at Christmas time. Me and Dad took a trip out there, and I got that. And I got me some Lebanon bologna, which is delicious. And but that's like when I am out in PA, I'm definitely gonna be bringing back some of the birch beer. The Pennsylvania Dutch is my favorite one. And they make it in a diet, too. And I want to go to I'm going to go to where they make Lebanon bologna. It's the Seltzer's factory in Palmyra. And I'll get some and bring it back, just like I did last summer. Or last spring, I should say. It was May that I went out.
They say, you know, that expression, you don't want to know how they make the sausage. You may not like it anymore after you see it being made.
Yeah, I've seen it being made, and I still like it, so it's good stuff.
Talking about old sayings, Dan, this isn't as fun as makes my ass crave stove with, but I heard one this weekend that I'd never heard before.
Oh, what's
that? You know what crying uncle means, right?
crying uncle, right?
Yeah, if you cry uncle, you give up. Right. I'd never heard this before, but my wife had heard it, and my mom's the one that said it. And when she said it, I'm like, what? But holler calf rope. If you holler
calf rope?
C-A-L-F, like a baby cow, rope, R-O-P-E.
Yeah. Holler calf
holler rope. Calf rope. That means you've given up.
Holler calf rope.
You've given up.
How did that come about?
I don't know. When a calf gets roped, he's given up. But that's the only sense I can make out of it.
No, that's crazy.
Maybe interesting.
This week.
Okay. 1878. Eggleston Roxy. Quotation. They pummeled each other in a friendly way until the challenger, finding that his antagonist had entirely stopped respiration, was forced to hollow calf rope. That is to signify by gestures that he was beaten. Wow. Never heard of. Wow. This is. What is this map? Is this? Oh wait, that's the United States. So it's in well, made it up to you, Dave, in South Carolina. Let me see, because that it was a little more south than you for a long time. Who said it?
My mom said it.
Yeah, your mom said it this week. Holler calf rope. See, where's your mom from?
Right here. I mean.
Wow. Holler calf rope. Interesting.
I remember my grandmother saying this. She would say, well, I'll Swanee. S-W-A-N-E-E. And it's pronounced Swanee. Swanee or Swanee. Well, I'll Swanee.
Okay.
And this actually, what's that I think mean? It's old English, but it means it's I'll Swanee. Was the old English for it, I think, but it means I'll swear.
I'll Swanee.
The only one I can come up with is Yinz, and that's because I used to live in Western Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I was a Yinzer.
We used to say,
yeah. Well, that's what they call people from Pittsburgh. Yinzer. When we're saying things like, why don't you guys come over? We would say, why don't Yinz come over?
Oh, Yinz.
Yinz.
It's the same meaning.
It's the same meaning as Yinz. You say Yinz.
Okay.
Y-I-N-Z.
It's like saying y'all versus y'all.
That's right.
It's like saying yous.
Yeah, we say yous down here.
Well, hey, yous guys. Well, I'm in Texas. That's Philadelphia. Hey, yous guys is Philadelphia, man.
That's.
It runs a little further north than that too.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, that, you get it in New York too, right?
That's Goonies.
You Goonies.
Speaking of that, I got a holler calf rope.
Yeah, it's past Dave. Well, it's almost quarter after.
I'll holler calf rope too.
Holler calf.
Right. Oh, I still got two play more sets.
Do it.
Pump that iron.
All right, folks, getting out of here. Good night, gentlemen and Joel.
Hey, take it easy. Hey, enjoy the conference and we'll shoot us a message.
Try not to drop your pants.
Not a problem.
At least not on stage.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Joel. Happy birthday to Alan. Here are your promos. I wish you a happy birthday, Dave, but it's not your birthday.
Not for a while yet.
No, it's not. Wait, did I not?
What'd you do? Press the button, my man.
Muted?
Let me make sure it's not muted. What the heck? Why is it not playing?
Yeah, unplugged it. Yeah, I did it.
No, I mean, it's just, it was recording and everything, so it should be.
No, you're still new at this. You'll figure it out.
This trackpad on this device is terrible. Camp, I don't know what's going on over here. Yeah, I shouldn't have. It's going to take me out back for some stove wood. For some stove wood. Alright, let's try it now. Hopefully this fixes it.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Boo.
So here it is.
Check that link I put in the mumble chat.
This is what you're saying, Dave. Joel's ass craved so much stove wood that it tired out your arm and you had to holler calf rope.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, boy.
Look at the link I posted in the mumble chat. And Dan, I want to know, would you eat that? It's a new hot dog at the Pirates baseball games. It's a foot-long hot dog slathered in pot roast, then covered in potato pierogies, pickles, and caramelized onions.
Mm. If that you bought it for me, I would eat. I wouldn't want to.
Oh God.
I wouldn't want to try and pay for this thing. That looks expensive, but I would eat the shit out of those pierogies.
That looks good.
$15.
That's $15.
That seems like a steal right there for $15. Yeah. I mean, hamburgers cost $15 nowadays. That's true.
Yeah. I definitely would eat this thing once. I wouldn't need anything else at the baseball game.
No,
I can't even afford to go to the fucking baseball game, to be honest.
That's $15 for a foot long with pierogies and pot roast.
To go see Godzilla versus Kong or Godzilla X Kong to Alamo Draft House. The tickets
are what?
$30 for the two of us. Like $35 for the two of us.
That's what I was gonna say, right. Yeah.
So you know, that's a whole lot more expensive than back in the day when we used to go to the movies a lot more often.
Oh yeah.
But it's Alamo Draft House. I mean, you go and you sit down and you get
a beer,
dinner too.
Yeah, I was going to say, your dinner's probably $100.
Yeah, and for just the two of us, you know, because we used to take the kids to Alamo Draft House, too, and everybody would eat. But just two of us, between the tickets and, you know, the tip and everything else, it was more than $150 to go to the movie theater.
Crazy.
Well, granted, that was dinner, too, but still.
Have y'all seen the commercials for the new crispy tacos at Taco Bell?
No.
The crispy tacos?
Yeah. It made me wonder.
How do you watch commercials?
It's YouTube TV. So I don't think I get commercials. I watch Pluto TV and crap sometimes. Anyway, it looked like. It made me think of. I couldn't. There wasn't a good picture of it. Those El Paso tacos that Joe was talking about. Those. The puffed ones. I don't know if they're doing that now or not, but they're not soft. They're not hard. They're crispy. So I don't know what that means.
The crispy ones I'm trying to.
You're talking the ones that I was talking about? So wait, why don't I see these on Taco Bell's?
The only thing I really want to go to Taco Bell for anymore, and I used to love Taco Bell, is the nacho fries. That's it.
Nacho fries are delicious.
Now I'd rather go to Chipotle and get a bowl.
Oh, the Cantina Chicken Crispy Taco.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about the Cantina Crispy Taco.
Did it look anything like it? Okay. I heard crispy, and
no.
The time I looked up, I could think it was gone, but it made me think of that. So
I almost did that for dinner tonight.
See, their Cantina menu kind of looks like it's supposed to be fresh and healthy.
No way.
Tacos I'm talking about. You're talking about taking a flour tortilla, I think it was, with taco meat and cheese and sticking it in a deep fat fryer, baby. That's not Cantina material right there. That's pure flavor.
Well, it's like the crispy empanada thing they had was kind of meh.
A lot of people up north don't respect that level of pollen now, do they?
I hope they don't have to.
Yeah, I don't. When we moved down, before we moved down here, we never had it like that up in Pennsylvania.
It's year round for me. I mean, this is tree pollen now, but the stuff that really aggravates me kicks in May and June. Grass pollen is awful.
Is that the Clemson pollen?
Yeah.
Put it on your barbecue? You don't have to. It's there already, right?
Yeah.
Ay-yi-yi-yi. Where is everybody?
I don't know. I'm the one that wasn't supposed to be here this week, but I am.
What happened?
We were going to go out of town, but we had to cancel at the last minute.
That's right.
My youngest daughter, who's still in school, looks like she's having gallbladder problems. So.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, we didn't want to leave her by herself. But
she doing all right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not. We don't think it's emergent. She had an ultrasound last week, and it showed sludge. We're having another one done tomorrow with contrast, so that'll show. We're going to figure out, you know, what the percent function is, see if she needs to have it removed or not. But
my wife had her gallbladder removed.
I had mine removed a couple of years ago, and I had no symptoms whatsoever. I woke up one morning. My wife was in Florida with her sister, and I woke up one morning, and I got up, and it felt like somebody hit me across the back with a 2x4, and within 30 minutes, it was full-blown, full-body pain. I mean, I was throwing up, and like a dummy, I didn't do anything for 6 hours. I called my wife, who was in another time zone, and said, we're getting muscle relaxers. She said, what's wrong? I said, I thought it was a heart attack, but then I thought it was kidney stones. I said, I don't know what it is. So I went to the hospital, and my daughter drove me, and it was fully blocked, fully dead. It was one big stone in there, and they had to take it out immediately.
Fully blocked, like there was nothing. How long?
I don't know. The gallbladder was dead, and I had no symptoms up until that day.
Damn.
But my
all those flavored enemas.
Yeah. But it runs in my family. My sister's had hers out. My mom's had hers out. I saw both sides of my family.
So it's no surprise, and your daughter's gonna have it too. Does your oldest daughter have her gallbladder?
She still got hers. My wife still got hers.
Now, is there any rumor to the truth that when you got your gallbladder removed, that you came home, you were actually neutered also?
Zero.
Nah, that happened years ago. The neutering?
Oh, yeah. Well, is this the week that Joel said
was going to be late? I thought he was going to be here for this show, and then the next show it was supposed to be he was going to be late. Next six shows after that or something.
Yeah.
Because church is more important than podcasting. God.
Apparently. I don't understand what's going on here. Where are the priorities?
Right?
Where Dave lives, they got a church on every corner, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in Texas.
Do you have a church on every corner, too?
Yeah, there's a mega church up the street.
We don't have that many churches here. Not like it is
down here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We quite literally have mega churches. It's kind of sad and pathetic.
Well, I don't understand where my mother-in-law lives out in, like, in Chester, South Carolina. Way out, you know, she lives way out, and like her, there's a neighbor that's like across the street, but if you went to walk to their place and you didn't want to go through the woods, it would take like a half a mile to get there. And then the other neighbor's like, you know, it's like there's hardly anybody there. Like when you go to her house, you pass like maybe 10 houses, if that. And it's like that all over the place up there. And yet, the number of churches that they have out there, I'm like, how does this work?
Everybody's got land, and they like their neighbors at a distance.
Right, but I mean, how, like, you turn in, there's a fairly large church, then down the road, there's another church, and then you go up around the corner, and there's another church. And then you go up to my mother-in-law's, and up the road just about a mile is another church. And I'm like, there's more churches than people. How does this work? How does it work, Dave?
I don't know. That's an illusion.
All the denominations have small congregations.
It amazes me, though, that like some churches are kind of smallish, but not a single one isn't a standalone building with one or more buildings attached to it. And I, like I said, for where they are, and this is just the churches outside of town. There's a bunch of churches inside of town too. Oh yeah. Which church you go to, Dave?
I go to a Wesleyan church. I used to go to I went to a Baptist church my entire life until about 5 years ago, and we switched to a Wesleyan church.
Why'd you switch? You left the Baptist church? They kicked you out, didn't they?
No.
They said, no more holy suppositories, Mr. Yates. You're out of here.
We switched because the youth department, you know, for my daughter was almost non-existent at the church that we were going to, so we switched to another church. It's, you know, and the church we were going to was a half mile from my house. This one's like 2 miles from my house.
That's unacceptable, isn't it?
And it is a denomination. It's Wesleyan, and it's a pretty big church, actually. We call it a mega church, but there's three or four other churches. It's one church, but it's like three different churches in three different towns. So it's big-ish.
Got to get the show ready here. Or the audio.
There's a show today?
We can just play Jolie clips for him.
Well, he'll probably be here like 10 minutes before we close up shop or something. Try to run the show for another hour.
What am I missing here? Okay. All right. What show is this, Dave?
1046.
Is it?
Yep.
Is it really?
It is.
Yes, it is. Exciting times. Yeah, let's start the show. We waited long enough.